Chapter 13. The day was fine and sunny, and Marie badly wished that she was on her bike and not inside a 4x4. It would have been great to drive the half hour or so to Hawker's Fen with the warm breeze in her face and the smells of the countryside all around her.
"What crop is that?"
asked Charlie, looking out at the acres of bluish-green plants with white and purple flowers.
"Field beans,"
said Marie. "Almost identical to broad beans, only they are grown for animal feed. They both have the same Latin name."
"Blimey," Charlie said. "The Sarge has gone all agricultural on us, Kev."
She laughed. "Just a useless bit of fen information, courtesy of long evening dog walks with my dad."
"How much further is Hawker's Fen?"
asked Charlie. "There seems to be no end to this road, or that ditch beside it." Charlie was right. Their route lay along one of several stretches of perfectly straight road called droves in the Fenland, with nothing but fields and the occasional dilapidated barn to break the monotony. Here and there were a few scattered dwellings, the sort that estate agents list as rural setting, no near neighbours.
"Just a few minutes. You'll see a flat bridge over the drain that runs directly into the Lorimer's property."
Soon Marie was crossing the bridge into a scrubby, tarmacked area that served as a parking bay. She turned off the engine and looked around. The place had changed little over the years, except for the addition of a couple of shabby static caravans and a few more sheds. It had never been tidy, but now it resembled a junkyard. The house itself was a small, weathered farm dwelling with run-down outbuildings attached to it. Bits of the yard had been fenced off into pens, some for chickens, some with ducks, and others left unused were overgrown and choked with weeds.
"Self-sufficient, eh?" Kevin looked disappointed. "I thought it was going to be more, well, like a proper small holding. Nice organic veg and a sign outside saying free-range eggs for sale." "Sorry, Kevin, but this is it, and the only sign you are likely to see is one that says keep out."
Marie made sure the 4x4 was locked.
"Come on, let's go and say hello to Rachel Lorimer."
The front door opened, and a cat streaked out past them.
"Damn and blast, taking me an hour to get that thing in here for its flea treatment. Now the bugger's done a runner. What do you lot want, anyway?"
Rachel Lorimer stood with her hands on her hips and glared at them. She had a wild mane of prematurely grey hair and small, shrewd, pale eyes set in a weathered face. She was dressed in men's cord trousers, a check shirt, a half jacket, and tan leather boots.
"I am DC Marie Evans, and this is DC Charlie Button and PC Kevin Stoner. Could we have a word, please, Mrs. Lorimer?"
They all held up their warrant cards.
"Must be at least a murder to drag three of you out here."
She gave them a disparaging look.
"Or are you frightened of going out on your own?"
"Neither, actually," Marie smiled at her. "Don't you remember me, Rachel? My dad and your dad were friends."
Rachel Lorimer peered at her.
"Little Marie? Well, stone me. A policewoman. A detective, no less. Wonders will never cease."
"Can we come in, Rachel? We won't take long."
"I suppose."
She threw the door fully open and stepped back.
"Come through to the sitting room. It's a bit of a mess, but I don't get a lot of time for housekeeping."
As a matter of fact, compared to the outside, the interior wasn't too bad at all. It was a typical old-style fen home. An open fireplace dominated the room with a faded picture in a worn gilt frame hanging above it, depicting a blacksmith shoeing a horse. There was an ancient well-used sofa and three armchairs, a sideboard, a gate-leg table and a coffee table. Apart from several straggly houseplants and a lot of ornaments, that was it. Rachel Lorimer pointed to the chairs.
"I suppose you'll be wanting tea."
"We won't trouble you, Rachel. I know you're busy, so we'll just ask you a few questions and be on our way."
Marie sat down and decided to plunge straight in.
"There have been one or two petty crimes committed in the area recently, all involving rural village farms. We've been warning the owners of small farms and other properties like yours to keep vigilant."
"What kind of crimes?"
The shrewd eyes had narrowed to slits.
"Theft of animals and diesel, among other things."
Marie stared at her.
"And someone told me your family might know something about it.
Marie Evans, how dare you?
Rachel Lorimer was incandescent.
We might not be well off or brainy, but my lads are good boys, every one of them. They've never been in trouble with you lot, as well you know.
I'm sorry, Rachel, but I have to follow up all statements and leads. You can appreciate that, surely. It's not personal, I promise.
Rachel thought for a while.
All right. And it's just because I liked your father, mind. Ask what you need to, then you can go.
Could you tell us, Mrs. Lorimer, are all of your sons still living at home?
Charlie asked politely.
Each and every one. Even Levi, who's married now. They have my bedroom, as it's only right and proper being wed and all.
So there's Levi, Noah, and who else?
Charlie asked.
Jacob, Esther and Paul.
And that is everyone that lives here?
Asked Kevin.
Only I saw that the static vans have curtains and a gas bottle, and there's an old motorhome parked up in the yard.
Esther has the smaller static to give her some privacy, and Noah and Jacob have the bigger one. This house has only three bedrooms, and it got too cramped for us all.
Her expression darkened.
Anyway, what the hell has that got to do with anything? And who pointed the finger at us?
We can't say, Rachel, but we have to talk to everyone here. Maybe one of them has heard someone talking about the theft?
Marie's softly spoken response obviously hadn't placated Rachel Lorimer. She continued to glower at them.
And the motorhome? Asked Kevin. Who does that belong to?
My cousin Ezra, growled Rachel. He's down from the north of the county for a while, catching up with a family, and I'd be grateful if you don't give him the impression that we're a brood of thieves and ne'er-do-wells.
Following Marie's lead, Charlie spoke gently.
That's not her intention, I assure you, Mrs. Lorimer. But two of your sons work locally, and they might well have heard something that could assist us.
Before anyone could say any more, a loud crack interrupted them. Kevin jumped.
Never heard an air gun before, have you? That'll be Noah shooting rats. They're everywhere when there's poultry feed and a diet close at hand.
Marie knew that was true. You didn't live in a wet area like this without rats being a problem. But she was reminded of the last time Kevin had heard a gun fired.
Is it just air guns you own, Rachel?
She nodded.
Caleb had a shotgun when I was young, but he sold it when times got hard. The children all have air guns except for Jacob. He doesn't hold with hurting or killing any living thing. Funny ways he has, but that's our Jacob.
There was a distinct softening of her manner when she spoke about Jacob. Marie had noticed that she constantly referred to them as children, though they were all adults, or at least in their late teens. There was another shot. This time Kevin didn't jump.
Are they good shots? He asked casually.
Fair enough. The best by far is Esther. She can knock spots off the boys, bit like me, really. Caleb taught me well, and my mother cooked the best rabbit pie in the world.
The dreamy look in her eyes was soon replaced by one of irritation.
Look, you don't want my family history. Go talk to whoever's here, but I promise you, you're wasting your time. And go easy with Jacob, you hear? He's sensitive.
She stood up and pointed to the door. Marie ushered the others outside, then turned to Rachel.
Thank you, Rachel. It's good to see you again. I'm just sorry it's an official visit.
I liked your father. He was a good man.
He was, Marie said. I still miss him.
As I miss Caleb. You felt safe with him around. Now I have to fill those big shoes of his. It feels a bit lonely sometimes.
I think you're doing an amazing job, Rachel.
Can't be easy living out here, having to take care of the family. They have their problems, don't they? Marie hoped she didn't sound patronising.
I have my cross to bear, but I love my children no matter how God chose to make them.
A hint of the hardness returned.
So tell those two whippersnappers of yours to tread careful, or they'll have me to answer to.
Rachel Lorimer went back inside and closed the door. Marie caught up with the others.
We'll start with Noah, shall we?
She pointed at a young man who was levelling his air rifle at the far bank of the ditch. They heard a crack, followed by a squeal and a small splash.
Yes!
Noah lowered the gun and looked across the water with a satisfied expression. Then he saw them, and his expression changed. Marie introduced Charlie and Kevin and asked if they could see where he lived.
I suppose, if Ma said it was all right.
Noah must have been around 19 and was gangly with long, straggly hair. He seemed defensive. You don't work, Noah? Asked Kevin.
I work bloody hard. Here's where I work. Me and Jacob look after the animals and the farm.
He paused.
And I look after Jacob, too.
Marie nodded. We just meant, did you go to work for anyone else, that's all. There's been some thefts in the area, and we were wondering if you'd heard anything about them.
Why would I? I never leave here, unless it's to shop, or fetch feed for the beasts.
What about friends? Asked Charlie.
Don't have any. Ma says that's for the best. We got each other. We stick together here.
He spoke the words as if he were reciting some oft-repeated slogan.
Marie changed tack.
Where does Levi work, Noah?
In the abattoir over at Leedyke. He's good at his job, or so he tells us.
Marie shivered. It wasn't something people usually boasted of being good at.
How does Jacob cope with that?
He doesn't. He hates Levi. He hasn't spoken to him since he took that job.
How long ago was that? She asked.
5 years ago.
Do you like Levi? She asked suddenly.
Yet again, Noah shrugged.
He's my big brother, isn't he?
But do you like him?
I love Jacob. I don't like it when people upset him.
That must be really difficult when you say you all stick together,
Charlie said.
Another shrug.
Just the way it is.
Marie looked around the caravan. She had expected it to be a tip, but it was oddly tidy. No piles of dirty clothes or stacks of unwashed dishes, and there was no technology. No television, no PlayStation, no laptop and no chargers plugged in ready for a mobile phone. Instead, there were pictures of wild animals, deer, badgers and foxes, and birds too, owls and hawks. Not a football hero in sight. Marie saw crude wooden carvings, clearly the work of one of the boys, again all animals. There was a kingfisher, a long-haired dog and a sleeping cat. There were jigsaws and books, most intended for children.
Where is Jacob now?
Asked Charlie.
With the chickens. One has got mites and is treating it. And don't ask him anything about whatever it is you want to know, because he doesn't know nothing. He only knows his animals and birds, so leave him alone.
He sounded more fearful than anything. Afraid for his brother.
Talk to Levi and Paul if you want answers.
Noah flopped down on an old sofa and stared at the floor. They'd get nothing from him now. Marie nodded to the others, and they left. Outside, she led them a short distance away. Two things. One, what did you smell in that caravan?
Oil.
Fuel, Charlie said immediately.
Faintly. It wasn't strong, but it smelt like I did after my trip to Dewsbury End Farm.
Exactly. And two? She sighed. Two. Did you notice a sleeveless hoodie hanging on the back of the door?
Kevin nodded.
Grey, with an orange logo. Something stars on it.
Falling stars, Marie nodded.
It may be a coincidence, and you know how much we hate those, but that hoodie is identical to the one I snatched off the kid who put that wreath on my motorbike. Ashcroft's little messenger.
Neither of the others spoke for a while, and then Charlie said,
You think one of the Lorimer boys is working for Ashcroft?
I have no idea what I think yet, but seeing that hoodie gave me the heebie-jeebies. I checked it out last night, and it's a fairly common supermarket-owned brand, but that style hasn't been around for ages. What's the likelihood of two turning up so close to each other?
If it was cheap, it's possible, said Kevin. And if they're available at the supermarkets.
Shall I go back and have a word?
Go and ask him about that fuel smell. Then just mention the jacket. Ask if it's his or his brother's. Don't make a big thing of it, Marie said. We should have the forensic report regarding the one I grabbed hold of soon enough. Kevin wasn't long. He says he always smells of fuel, as he's the one who looks after the tractor and the digger. He wasn't fazed by the question either, and the jacket is his. He said his ma bought it for him. She buys all their clothes. Again, he wasn't nervous or spooked when I asked him. Feasible, I guess, but I still don't like coincidences. She looked around. Thanks for that. Now you two find Jacob. Go carefully, mind. We've been told he's sensitive. I'll see if Esther is at home. Esther was not in her caravan. Marie decided to take a wander around and see if she came across her. She didn't remember ever having met any of the Lorimer family apart from Rachel. They had a reputation for being antisocial. They were no respecters of land boundaries, and they did a little poaching. But none of them had ever crossed the line into outright criminality. For them to do so now would not only be wildly out of character, but she suspected that Mother Rachel would heartily disapprove. But then there had been that stink in the static caravan. She wondered if Noah was lying.
What are you doing here? This is private property.
Startled, Marie looked up and saw a young woman staring accusingly at her. She noted the light brown hair cut in a rather untidy, boyish style, the worn, faded jeans and open-necked denim shirt. What made her look twice was the grey sleeveless hoodie with the Falling Stars logo.
Esther?
Who wants to know?
Marie held out her warrant card.
I'm Marie. I knew your grandfather. Can we talk?
What about?
Your brothers. I'd like to know whether you think they're capable of theft, among other things.
Oh, I see. You better come back to my caravan.
She turned on her heel and marched across the yard. Marie followed. She wasn't sure what she was expecting to see in that caravan, but it wasn't this. It wasn't filthy, nor was it piled up to the ceiling with old newspapers and magazines. She didn't have to wade through junk, cat litter and food cartons to find a seat, but even so, the amount of stuff packed into the small space was overpowering. Esther collected things. Keepsakes, souvenirs, ornaments, and surprisingly, books. Not children's books, either. Marie ran her eyes over some of the spines. Steinbeck, Atwood, Hemingway, Capote. No chick lit here.
Okay. Has someone been accusing my brothers of something?
She had a lot of her mother's attitude.
If so, I'd like to know who.
Marie sidestepped the question.
Esther, do you think your brothers could possibly have been talked into doing something they shouldn't?
No way. Our mother would kill them. They'd be too scared to even think of it, she snorted. Apart from the fact that they aren't bright enough to pull it off, whatever it is. Jacob's useless, Noah's a wimp, Levi's too savvy, and Paul, well, Paul does what he wants, not what other people tell him to.
The thefts I'm talking about were definitely not carried out by experts, believe me.
Marie watched Esther. What kind of young woman was she dealing with here? People said that all the children had problems, but she couldn't see too much wrong with Esther.
We've spoken to Noah, and my colleagues are chatting to Jacob. And yes, before you mention it, we do know he's sensitive, okay. But what about Paul? He has a job, hasn't he?
Seasonal work on the fields, mainly. But he's good with engines, so he's always got work.
And you, Esther? What do you do?
I help Ma with the health, and I'm good with figures, so I do the accounts and manage the money. What there is of it.
She pulled a face.
I did have a job in retail, but they let me go a couple of months ago. Ma said I was needed here, so here I am.
You don't get lonely? Asked Marie.
Lonely? Esther looked puzzled. With all my family around me, how would I get lonely?
Don't you miss having friends? Marie went on. A boyfriend, maybe? Are the young women of your own age to talk to?
Most girls are stupid. If I want to talk, I have Gillian. That's Levi's wife. She's nice. Anyway, I prefer to talk to my brothers or Ezra. Especially Ezra. He's different. He was lucky. He got an education.
She uttered the last words reverently.
That's your mother's cousin? Marie asked.
Yes. I wish he'd stay with us, but he'll move on soon.
He doesn't hang around too long in one place.
Is he here now? I'd like to meet him, Marie said.
No, sorry. He's taken Ma's car and gone to do a big shop for her. Ezra pays his way, makes sure we all eat well.
Esther had a rather haunted expression.
He's come down from Hull to visit. Says he didn't want to lose touch. Says family is the most important thing.
Your hoodie, Esther. Where did you buy it?
Esther looked down. What? This whole thing? Ma got us all one about a year back. The local supermarket was selling them off for next to nothing. She reckoned every trolley in the store had at least one or two in it. Why?
Nothing. Just thought a sleeveless hoodie was a good idea in the warmer weather.
Wouldn't suit you. You're too posh. Marie laughed.
I've been called a lot of things, Esther, but posh isn't one of them.
Compared to us, you are.
Again, that fleeting, rather sad expression. Marie had a feeling that for all her brave words about family, Esther Lorimer would like to sprout wings and fly away to another life, 1,000,000 miles from Hawker's Fen.